James Madison of Virginia, a key architect of the Constitution, once said, "A well-instructed people alone can be permanently a free people." But today, certainly at the college level, too often the students are not given a well-rounded education in the classics and history, but they are given a heavy dose of the woke agenda. For example, here's a statement from the New York Post from earlier this year. Quote, "The State University of New York system has created diversity, equity, inclusion, and social justice requirements for graduation." End quote. So, one might surmise, goodbye Founding Fathers, hello Marxism. Nicholas Giordano, professor of political science at Suffolk Community College in New York, is a campus reform higher education fellow, and he wrote the article that I just quoted from the New York Post. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Points. And by the way, we have a link to that particular article. And Professor Giordano, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it.
Thank you for having me on. I appreciate the opportunity. And there's a lot of craziness going on the college campuses out there.
Yeah. And now it seems like it's just going to even get worse. Can you explain what is the whole big push for diversity, equity, inclusion, and social justice? And can you even define those terms?
So first, I'll start off with the latter half, the diversity, equity, inclusion, and social justice, and what it actually means. Well, it's nothing more than a political agenda that's being pushed on the student body, that you have to think a certain way, that you have to accept certain ideas, and all those ideas are actually coming from the left. You can't consider alternative viewpoints because that is deemed unacceptable to the powers that be that want to push the diversity, equity, and inclusion agenda on everyone. And at the college system throughout the country, you're really seeing this DEISJ indoctrination going on two levels. One is through the orientation process of new students. So as new students graduate high school, they're going to go to college. They have to go to orientation. Now, if you think back 20 years ago, 30 years ago, orientation used to be about how do you register for classes? How do you acclimate to college life? What are the different student groups you could join? Today, it's now focused on this whole idea of diversity, equity, inclusion, and social justice. And we've been reporting it heavily at the Leadership Institute Campus Reform. When we look at it as far as degree programs go, colleges throughout the United States are now making DEISJ a degree requirement for every single degree program you could think of. It could be for political science. It could be required in sociology. It could be required if you want to go into veterinary studies or engineering. And that's where they're forcing students into classes that they don't want to take to be told whether they're part of the oppressed class or they're part of the oppressor class.
Okay, so if you study engineering, you're going to have to learn that drivel. Is that right?
That is correct.
Wow.
Medical schools have adopted it. It's every degree program you could think of, it is now included. It's a part of the degree requirements. And the amazing part is diversity, equity, inclusion, and social justice are not academic disciplines. They're not something that – how do you measure – and whose perception is right? So when we look at it as part of degree requirements, again, it's a political agenda that's being put on the student body. Imagine being a student having to take out $10,000, $20,000, $30,000 in student loans per semester only to be told that you're either inherently a victim or you're inherently an oppressor.
So can you explain in the big picture here, basically what we're talking about is Marxism. Historic Marxism was applied to the economy. There were the workers, and then there were the oppressors that were the employers. Okay. And Marxism didn't sell in the West, or especially in America, because, you know, people wanted to be prosperous in America. So then they kind of turned it around and said, okay, well, let's apply this whole idea of oppressor versus the oppressed, but with different criterion, you know, related to race or related to sexual gender or something like that. Is that kind of what's going on?
Yeah, and you're absolutely right. So you're bringing up a great point. So if we look at Marxism, if we look at, you know, right from Karl Marx's own mouth, it was supposed to be the worker rebellion, that the workers were supposed to rise up to overthrow, to have this shared sense of equity, to help the collective. And that's what Marxism was all about. It was really about an economic system. Now, that never took hold in the United States, because the United States is actually, we were the ones that built out this idea of the middle class. And people live pretty good lives in the United States. So why is a worker going to rebel against the business owner or the corporate leadership when they themselves are successful under the system? And so it never took hold here, this idea of communism. And that's why they switched it to cultural Marxism, where they try and pit the classes and the races and the genders against each other in order to acquire power, to give this shared sense of what they deem as equity, even though they can't even really define what equity actually means. It's this idea, it's the largest social engineering project that I think that humanity has ever witnessed, that we're seeing here now being adopted in the Western world.
Can we rebel against this? I mean, for example, okay, they want to promote so-called equity, but we want to promote equality, correct? And the two are not the same.
They're not the same. So equality is the idea that we have equal opportunities, that we have access to an education system, that we have access to the employment marketplace once we graduate. And that's what equality is, that, hey, not everyone's the same. We all have different talents and abilities. We all have different skills, different passions and desires, and we recognize that. And so it's up to you how hard you want to work, and some people will have it more difficult than others depending on how they grow up, but the opportunities are there to succeed. What equity attempts to do is to create the same outcomes for every individual, which is an impossibility. You cannot create the same outcomes for every individual. It just simply doesn't work. So all we have to do is look around the world. If anyone could show me a successful communist system, well, then I'll say I'm wrong and they're right. But of course they can't do that, because everywhere communism has been installed, it's failed, and it's failed abysmally.
It has. And maybe a lot of people don't realize it, but I mean, we're talking about tens of millions of people who were dead. I remember when the National Review, when the Soviet Union collapsed in the early 1990s, National Review published an article by two former fellow travelers, two former communists. They were rooting for the Soviet Union. It was a husband and wife team, and they became disillusioned, and then they became, you know, people that were no longer in favor of communism. And they said, my goodness, when the whole thing collapsed, all they had to show for 70 years of communism was tens of millions of corpses. It's like, whoa, I've never forgotten that statement. I was like, whoa, it's in National Review. But anyway, so equality is not the same as equity, because equality basically means equality of opportunity. Equity is an attempted force of equality of outcomes. Okay, what is diversity, and what is diversity in contrast to?
Well, diversity is almost a myth, right? So we're constantly hearing about diversity, and we hear that we're only strong if we have diversity, and that we need to infuse more diversity on college campuses and throughout our lives. The truth of the matter is, diversity has been included in the United States system since our founding. Diversity has existed. And this is part of the problem within the education system. It's something that I routinely focus on, is that we don't include all the different peoples that came to the United States, that made the United States. So, for instance, just to give you a great example of this, most people are unaware that an Italian merchant named Filippo Mazzi came to the United States in 1773, befriended Thomas Jefferson, and they would have constant conversations about what does true liberty actually mean, and how do we bring it to the theoretical to reality. And Mazzi was the one that actually coined the phrase, all men are created equal. And he was giving a speech at a Virginia church, and the speech was later published in the Virginia Gazette. And Thomas Jefferson liked it so much that he included it as the tenet of the American Creed in the Declaration of Independence. It would take Congress about 200 years to recognize Massey's contribution. Ultimately, they passed a resolution recognizing his contribution to the Declaration. But the United States is the most unique nation on the planet because we're all these different peoples from different places that come together, and we actually coexist well together.
Yeah.
We don't have the shared history of Britain, Egypt, China, Japan, where they have thousands of years of recorded history. We don't have shared cultures and traditions and languages. We're all different, and yet we make it work. So the idea that we don't have enough diversity is simply a myth. Diversity has been included in the U.S. system since our founding, and yet they don't want to acknowledge it.
Okay, and what is inclusion? I like this. You're giving us kind of these lengthy definitions of what's going on. And does inclusion somehow differ from individualism?
Well, it does, but you also see the hypocrisy in their arguments, because when they talk about inclusion, they say that we have to be respecting of everyone. We have to be accepting of everyone. However, that assumes that all human beings are almost the same, that we all have the same thought processes, that we all have the same abilities and talents, and it's simply not true. Should we include people that are 4'3" on NBA basketball teams? I mean, I don't think anyone would want a player that's that short. No, again, nothing against short people, but it simply wouldn't work. Me, I had two children. I lost my hair. So should I be included as a hair model? And the answer is obviously not. And you look at this idea of inclusion and you see that it's nothing more than just word. Just take ideological inclusion. Do they really believe that conservatives and conservative thought should have a seat at the table? Well, we see what's going on in college campuses throughout the country, the Leadership Institute's campus reform. We've been heavily reporting on the idea of shouting down speakers, of protesting, of trying to get student groups kicked off campuses that are pushing conservative ideologies. So when they say inclusion, it's nothing more than just a word. It doesn't have any real meaning.
And, okay, let's take the example of women and transgender sports, which sometimes can be dangerous for girls competing against biological males. Is the idea of inclusion there then, oh, yeah, I gotta have transgender rights?
Well, let's just look at the idea of inclusion to them. So when we do bring transgender people into women's sports, and those are biological males that were born that go into these women's sports, we see that they're dominating. And so how does that really include any women when men are not only beating them, but they are totally and thoroughly outperforming them? And we just witnessed with the Miss USA pageant over in the Netherlands, I believe, where it was a transgendered person that got the crown, born a biological male. How does that empower women? So if we look at this movement, well, it's not really inclusive of women now, is it? In fact, you know, these are the same people that they'll sit there and scream about the patriarchy. Yet, what are we telling them? That men can do anything better than a woman can? I mean, that's the message that's being portrayed out there, as men dominate in women's sports, as men are now winning women's beauty pageants. At what point do we realize that this idea of their version of inclusion is nothing more than a myth?
Social justice, what exactly is that? Now, justice is blind, right? Lady Justice is blindfolded and so forth. But affirmative action, would that be an example of social justice, which was not blind justice, if you will?
Well, they'll say it's part of social justice, and it shows you that social justice is nothing more than a political concept. When we look at the idea of social justice, and this one really gets to me as a political scientist and someone that teaches in the classroom, if we're going to include diversity, equity, inclusion, and social justice into every degree program, well, what if I make the argument that people illegally coming to the United States are taking resources away from American citizens that are living in poorer communities, that are living in communities that are already struggling, and they're now having to face the burden of having all these people from this another place come to their communities? Wow. And they're getting hotel stays.
We have about 20 seconds left to wrap this up. Go ahead.
Yeah, so when we see this idea of social justice, the only social justice is their interpretation of social justice. So we see it's nothing more than a far-left agenda that's being pushed on the American people.
Well, we'll link to your article, campusreform.org, for more information. Thank you so much, Professor, for being with us. All the best.
Thank you for having me.